broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
Good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Vistage Executive Summit in Boston. And I'm delighted to have with me in this segment Kevin Gosnell, who is a Vistage member, and he's also speaking this afternoon.
Yes.
Kevin, would you just give us a little bit of a taste of your remarks for those who are listening but can't be here today?
Regarding?
The whole thing. Just tell us a little bit about your presentation, a little snippet of your presentation.
Yeah. My presentation is about my journey through being diagnosed with ALS. And kind of how it started, how I kind of migrated through it, the road that I had to go down and the decisions that I had to make, and then the journey that I took in order to try to make a difference along the way. Mm-hmm. And really trying to get people to understand the different possibilities and options that you have when you're faced with daunting decisions and hard tasks to make.
Hmm. When were you diagnosed?
I was actually it was March of this year is when I was pretty much told that they think I had ALS. The official diagnosis came in May, but I pretty much had an inclination that I had ALS in March.
Hmm. And how long have you been a Vistage member?
7 years. Oh, okay. I was 7 years as a Vistage member, and I loved Vistage. It did a tremendous amount for me, and as far as helping me grow myself and build my business and just some tremendous relationships that I built with the guys. We had a tremendous team of guys there.
And how has your participation in your business changed over the past few months as you have, you know, been diagnosed and then, you know, are kind of, you know, kind of going through the implications and the consequences of the diagnosis?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that I learned when I first went to Vistage was, you know, the power of building a great executive team. And I'm one of those people that when I see a problem, you know, I try to find the solution, I implement it relatively quickly. I think that's one of the things I've always done. Every Vistage meeting, I would come back with one or two things, and I would truly implement it. And I had an executive team when I went to Vistage, but not as strong as it needed to be. And the saying was always, you know, if you got hit by a bus, could the team run the company? And when I first was at Vistage, I would say the answer was no. But as I began to grow and develop the team and bring in certain people, my goal was to make it as though if I ever did get hit by a bus, the company would be fine and they didn't need me. And I achieved that. I owned a parking lot reconstruction business, and I was a partners in one in Carolina and in one in Texas. And I was in the process of actually merging them all together, and I was going to be the CEO of the new company, and we were going to buy some other companies and merge it all in. So I was in the process of putting that all together when I started to have the symptoms of ALS. So between that going on and just the fact of building a strong executive team, when I was diagnosed, I was able to just walk away from the business. And I'm happy to say the guys have done a tremendous job running the company since I've been gone.
Did you sell it?
I'm in the process of working that out. Yeah, I haven't yet, but I'm in the process of working that out.
Mm. And how has your Vistage group supported you through this process?
The guys have been great. I decided to go ahead and do something different. So, one of the things I did was when I got diagnosed, I started to research and I realized that, some of the greatest ALS doctors in the world are right here in Boston. I mean, Boston is the medical capital of the United States. Mm-hmm. Like I call it the medical Silicon Valley. And, as I began to research, I found out that, the top doctors in the world are right here in Boston. And I began to go and meet with them all. And I've always had the ability to bring out the best in people and get people to come together and build teams. That's probably one of the assets that I have. So I wanted to use that. And as I met with all these famous doctors, I started to ask them, hey, what would happen if we all got together as a team? If you guys got together in one room and we started to work as a unified team, and we had doctors from Harvard, MGH, UMass Medical. Bob Brown is a doctor from UMass Medical. He's considered the godfather of ALS. And then the godmother of ALS is Merit Sokovitz from Mass General. And we have a biomedical company that's a nonprofit run by a tremendous guy named Steve Perrin. So Nazim Atassi is another famous guy at UMass, Mass General, and also he teaches at Harvard. So among some other doctors. And we all got together, I got them all together in a room. And we, first meeting was a little tense, but as that continued to move on, they 1 hour meeting turned into three. They cleared their calendars. These people travel around the world. They're busy people. And they came together the following week, and it was a domino effect. And we were able to get them to come together as a team, get all the institutions to agree to be able to combine all the logos together. And we're launching a group called ALS1, which is really the top doctors in the world to come together to agree on a science path to try to goals to try to have a treatment in the next 4 years and do some tremendous things. So the My Vistas group was great in the process of me doing this. They came down my house a few times and brainstormed with me and did some white pads and helped me figure out some things to do along the way. So it was a tremendous, it was like having a little executive team to help build this.
It sounds to me like you naturally took all the skills that you have as a CEO and started to apply them in this situation. And was that a natural process, or did it take some prompting? How did that evolution take place? Because it seems to me that you just kind of just went at it. And most people would be at home under the table,
right,
crying.
Right. I mean, I feel like you have two options when you get this. One is curl up in a ball, go home, and wait to die, right? And I fault no one for doing that. It's a horrific disease, extremely hard every day to get moving in the right direction. And the other option is, how do I take the skill set that I have and how do I move the needle forward? How do I do something with the time that I have left, which isn't a lot of time, but how do I do something with that? And I have always been a student of self-development and leadership my entire life. And I've read over 1,000 books. I've been to numerous seminars. I've had countless coaches and mentors that have helped me develop those skills. So I think my natural instinct was, I'm not going to curl up, go home, and just wait to die. And I also, I have three teenage boys at home, Scott, Jake, and Joe, tremendous young men. And I looked at it too. What's the last lesson that I could give them or coach them through? And I felt like this could be a way to show strength and courage and grace. Mm. And that's helped drive me a lot too.
One of the things I have noticed in my work with middle market CEOs, and it's a conversation that kind of sits underneath the surface, but this notion that I think being in business, having your own company. Did you start your company?
I did. Yeah, I've been 30 years. I've been in small business since I was 18 years old.
Takes a tremendous amount of faith. And I don't know, faith in whatever, right?
Yeah.
Not a religious conversation, just faith.
Right.
Right. The ability to take an idea, take a vision, and then sit in the gap until that vision begins to manifest and deal with all the challenges and all the frustrations and all the failures or whatever until that thing becomes something that you can point to where you can have other people take it over, right? And I'm wondering if you want to comment on that, like, the faith that it takes to have a business and develop that faith and nurture it for 30 years.
Right.
And then applying that to this new thing.
Right. And I've been involved in various different businesses too. And I think it's a belief system, right? And I think that you just, you either believe you can do it and you're going to do it or you don't. And I always have had a belief system, and no matter what I put my mind to or work towards, I mean, the path's not always clear and easy, but I always find a way to make it happen. I've always been an extremely goal-driven, time-management person, and And I think because of that, I just always believed I could get something done. And when I looked at this, I mean, I'm 13 months into my first symptom with this, and typically it's 2 years. So, you know, I have about a year left, maybe a little longer, but in general, that's what it is. And so when I, you know, it was only about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I took this up because I had to get some business things out of the way before I moved on to something else. And, you know, I have a belief that I can do it. I can bring people together and make a difference. So I think when you believe in something, then your behavior goes again, you know, starts to align with what the belief is. And then you put systems and processes and do things to get the results.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you have this, you know, faith, and we're not going to talk about it in any other context, but let's say that you have the seed of faith. How is that helping you with your diagnosis, or not helping you, as the case may be?
Well, there's nothing can help me with the diagnosis, right? And if we want to talk about faith from a religion standpoint, I have a lot of faith there, and that helps me through this. But you know, unfortunately, there's no treatment, no cure. I mean, you basically go home. I mean, that's just the way it is. There's no medicine, there's no surgeries, there's no nothing to do. There's not a lot of hope, so to speak. So that's just where that lies. I know anything that I'm doing right now is certainly not going to help me, and I don't expect it to help me. But maybe if the next person down the road that gets diagnosed with this and has a family and wife and kids won't suffer the same outcome or the same fate that I'm going to suffer, hopefully I can help move the needle forward. And I know the team that's been created for this ALS-1, they've already done some amazing things, so it's promising.
Mm. And what is your vision for ALS-1?
Another thing was created is called ALS Nights, which ALS-1 is a campaign of ALS Nights. Because as I was getting the doctors together, I wanted to create something to help fundraising. When I started to look into the fundraising world, originally I wanted, my intention was, let me just jump in with another fundraiser and let me use my business skills and acumen to make it better. As I met a lot of them, they weren't interested in the help because it's a lot of small, fractured little fundraising groups. And I saw a tremendous amount of waste there too, right? So imagine all of these small little fundraising groups, these little families creating all these fundraisers, which is all a great thing, but it's earmarked for maybe one specific doctor or one specific hospital. They don't really know where the money's truly being invested. And think of the duplication, right? Duplication in marketing, database work, administration, all those specific things, and no real shared database. So the first thing was to create ALS Nights, which is a shared database, and other families can join in and bring their families in. And I created five basic pillars to align people. One was you're committed until there's a cure. The second one is that you have to do at least one fundraiser a year. Third is that you'll display the ALS and Knights and ALS-1 logos wherever needed. You'll call to arms as needed. And five is you'll be mindful of other ALS families in your community. And when I made that simple platform, people could relate to it and understand. So we had 700 people join relatively quickly that were connected to the disease. We've had six fundraisers. This is all in 90 days. All this happens after 90 days. We had six fundraisers. We raised over $200,000. Wow. We've got 22 in the pipeline. And we'll probably raise $500,000 by January 1. And a lot of it's through small businesses because that's my world. And being a small business owner, I know when the CEO gets behind anything, the company rallies behind it. They have the resources. They have the team. And really, from a small business standpoint, right, they can leverage their client base. Their customers get to come in and see the great they're doing, and then the whole company comes together. And that's what I've seen happen, and it's been tremendous. And we're asking businesses to do that and to have like a 3-year commitment to getting behind it and doing it. And so I'm obviously a big fan of small business. I think it drives the country, and I think if small business gets behind anything, they can fix anything.
Nice. And in terms of your remarks and your presentation for this afternoon, is there anything else that you want to add? Anything else that you want to share with listeners that you haven't already told us?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think as CEOs and leaders, we all have problems that we have to face every single day. And I hope that the talk and what I've done inspires people to maybe go down that road that is a little bit more difficult and make that tough decision and push the company in the right direction so they can continue to grow themselves and grow the people around them to do something special. Because, you know, when you have a problem in business, you know, you're not curling up and dying, but by not doing anything, in essence, you know, you're stagnant. Or you can push things forward and go out there and try to make something happen. And I hope in the venue today that small businesses see the story that I've done, see what I've done, and maybe they leave today and push the envelope or make that tough decision that they're waffling on.
Mm-hmm. Have you given any thought to your legacy?
I have. Mm-hmm. And I think my legacy is my kids. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. I've lived an immeasurably blessed life. I have no regrets, and I have nothing even that I want to do, because I've been so good with my time and I've balanced things so well. You know, I've always set dreams. I every year I'd make a dreams list. I'd break it down into a yearly goals list, break it down to the month, the week, and the day. And I've lived my life that way since I was 18 years old. So I've just been able to achieve an awful lot in the area of myself and my family and work. And because of that, and you know, it's ironic, right? Only God knows how much time any one of us have. Mm-hmm. And you know, I certainly recently learned that I wasn't going to have the time that I thought I would. And it's ironic of how much I valued time my whole life, and how precious I thought it was, and how much I've utilized it. So I think that could be something to leave people with too. Is, you know, I don't think time should ever. Be taken for granted or wasted. I mean, let's face it, if Warren Buffett and Bill Gates combined their money today, they couldn't buy back that last second, minute, or hour. So in reality, isn't time the most precious commodity in the world? And I think what we do with that time distinguishes and separates who we are, and distinguishes really our quality of life.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, forgive me if, you know, I may be stepping over, but, you know, you'll take the question as you like. So this is going to, you're going to get a recording of this, and mm-hmm. you know, you said your sons are your legacy. Is there anything that you want to, this is going to be memorialized for forever, and you can give it to them. Is there anything you want to tell them?
I love you.
Great. Thank you so much for your precious time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.